Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, episode 101! Did you like that? I did. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
The only thing I can just say is this. Redemption!
We finally won one after so much a losing streak. Marina finally won one.
And the man who needs to retroactively change his pick, Tellius Tyler.
No, I admit I lost this one fair and square. You forget that the Splatoon 2 crowd is, you know, they're mostly younger audiences,
oh,
and they don't understand, appreciate the classics. So, and also they're probably better than people like me at the game. So,
wow.
In hindsight, you know, if you wanted to pick the winning team, Modern was a smart pick. Now, if you wanted to pick the better of the two things,
no,
you know, that was the right move.
It never seems to amaze me, Tyler, that after every loss, you always find an excuse. It's either conspiracy, or you didn't play.
I didn't play on this one either. Good.
See, there you go. And say, or you didn't play during it, or you know. It was the younger kid's fault. Seriously, not only did you lose, you got slapped.
Yeah, well, listen, I admit, Isaac, I agree. I'm pointing out the facts that Splatoon 2 audience, that Nintendo has said themselves that Splatoon 2 attracts a younger crowd. Hey, I like Splatoon 2. There's nothing wrong with that. But they don't understand the classics, and also they are better than people like me at the game. So, you know, a loss is a loss, and I admit that. I wear this one, and yet at the same time, I disagree with Splatfest law that says that, you know, the
winner
is never
Article 3 in Chapter 5 in the Splatfest rules, it is official that Modern rules. And also, I think you are an error.
You are error. I am error. That's right, Pearl. You are an error. She's an error, Tyler. Admit your defeat.
I'm surprised they actually used that line for Pearl.
That was
Pearl's
hilarious.
Line.
That was hilarious. See, what I loved about this one is that we broke a lot of conventions, Will.
Yes.
Because forever, we kept hearing that the popular team always loses, almost always loses, because the younger kids, just to use Tyler's words, will always band together, but then the older, experienced kids will win the day. Well, this wasn't the case, because not only were we more popular, we won the solo and team victories. So, I guess when it comes down to it, they wanted to stay fresh! Ah, victory. Sweet victory.
And I think, like, yeah, last I checked, I think, like, the popularity vote was, like, almost to 69. Yes, past 60%, yeah, last I checked.
Yes, it was past 60, definitely. So, yeah. You lose, Tyler. You... so good. So, we got some interesting stuff to talk about today, so let's get started off with what have you been playing? Stay fresh! Yeah. Yeah, that's what we were playing. The winning team. That's what we were playing over the weekend, and it was glorious. It was so glorious. And, I have something to talk about, but I'll save it for last. But, so, Tyler, lick your wound. I will let you go first.
I have actually been playing some Mario Tennis Aces. They recently updated the game again, and they did a little more balance tweaking, which is good. I do think that the game is more balanced now than it's ever been. They toned down Peach a lot. It was really, really strong. But they also made some weird changes that I don't like. They made it so at the net, if you're playing really close to the net, your slice shots at the net are like stupid strong all of a sudden for no reason. They just made them really, really powerful, and it's a totally unnecessary change, in my opinion. I think that makes the game worse and more trick shot spammy because side trick shots are so strong. Going up to the net and using a slice shot was already a pretty good option. I don't know why they made that change. It just, honestly, I think it makes the game considerably worse. And since the Nintendo Switch Online, I found that the average person that I play against is stupid good. Like, I haven't played for a while, so I'm a little rusty. But I played like 10 games, and every single game that I played was with somebody who had 100,000 points. And I had, for example, 2,000 of my own. So I'm going up against people who have not taken a break since the game came out. And it was definitely frustrating because I was definitely overmatched for a few matches where I just didn't have a chance. So yeah, I mean, honestly, at this point, I would say don't buy this game. Like, if you haven't bought it yet, just, you know, don't buy it. You're not missing anything. I might continue to check it out when they continue to update it, but I'm pretty done with it at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the real nail in the coffin for me was when they released Diddy Kong, and this is just a personal thing. Like, Diddy Kong, they released him, and he was really bad. And, like, I loved, and they nerfed him in the patch. Like, he was already bad, and they made him way worse. I have no idea why. Because he was already a bottom tier character. And they did that to Rosalina too. Rosalina was the worst character in the game. And
really?
They nerfed her. They made her even worse. Yes, yeah, so.
Really? Because last I played with Rosalina players, they were pretty wicked, especially with how technical and especially her slice shot is. But,
I mean,
really?
I think that was probably just beginning growing pains because her slice was, you know, it's a little different than everybody else's. But yeah, Rosalina had terrible control, mediocre power. She had a decent topspin shot, but she was slow. And her best thing was that she can move while charging at a decent rate. But they nerfed that, so now she can't even do that. Like, she just is straight up by far the worst character in the game. I just don't think Camelot really knows what they're doing. I've kind of lost faith in that development team, to be honest.
Ooh. Wow.
So it's not the greatest game of all time anymore?
Well, I said it had potential to be one of the best Mario sports games of all times, but yes, it does not. It is. I do think that Next Level needs to be in charge of making these because Camelot just doesn't know what they're doing. At least with Mario Tennis, they don't know what they're doing.
Wow!
All right, Will, how about you?
For me, as usual, I've been going back on the Splatoon runs, been doing a bit more Samu runs. Actually, just got myself up to S+2 in Splat Zones. Yeah, just slowly ranking my way up to rank X. But yeah, on Splatoon 2, yeah, just want to talk a little bit more about the Splatfest since because they also updated. This is the first Splatfest which they include with the recent update. And I just, one thing's for sure, like, now they split up the Splatfest up in either you could do Splatfest regularly or Splatfest in professionally. And when you play it regularly, like, one I think everybody here has noticed is that when you play on a certain team, they actually name your teams. For example, like the Dude Gang or like the Boots, like the very unique names for your teams, which is like a very nice touch that the Splatoon team has updated on, which really much appreciated. And for like if you play it like in the normal fashion, it accounts for how much you splat it. So if you are in your top member of your team, you will get graded upon that. So if you are like leader of the team, then yeah, you gotta get graded according to that, which much appreciated. So you don't have to worry about like being like dragged down by others. But while in professionally, I mean it's the professional ones is pretty much the same thing as it was before. But overall, it's just like much more emphasized. I mean, last I did was I had a power of 2200, which overall is meh. It's just very a good new change of rules, especially with the new times 10 and times 100 battles. Because Todd, I'm not sure you noticed like that news feed on the bottom. Like when
I
you
did,
see...
I saw it all the time. It kept popping up saying like Team Modern had won 100 times battle.
Yeah, so I think that's also one of the major like balances they gave for this update because like as I've argued before, like Team Poplar always generally loses just because like and the other team always gets the team or solo wins. So this addition makes this much more balanced out because like when you see that pop up with like times 10 or even times 100, like that's when the pressure goes on. Like, okay, I gotta win this. It's because like your matches will count like times 10 or times 100. That's like it really puts the pressure on TS. So overall, that is a very welcome addition, which I'm very happy for. So yeah, for me, just playing more Splatoon 2. I'm happy for the update. I cannot wait for that new special, which they recently announced it at their Tumblr blog. That Spirit Bomb special is called the Booyah Bomb.
I don't like that at all. I'm curious. It's not that I don't think it's cool. I think it's cool, but I don't know how that's going to be practical. Like, imagine you're playing the game and somebody has the Booyah Bomb special. You're going to have to be saying Booyah every 2 seconds. That's going to be annoying.
I think that's kind of the reason why they put the Booyah Bomb,
right?
Honestly.
I mean,
Like...
but I mean, you can see how, where I'm coming from on that. Like, if you're constantly like, I always like to say Booyah before the game, or when I get a nice kill, or when someone of my teammates does something cool, like I'm all about it. But to constantly be spamming it throughout the match, that's going to be really annoying.
I don't know about that, but I think it's kind of the reason. I think, like, the Splatoon team, research team has finally acknowledged, like, yeah, everybody likes to say Booyah, so might as well weaponize it to the point. And heck, like, it essentially is a spirit bomb of Dragon Ball Z.
It
and,
is.
I remember reading the details of, like, anybody who helps with the Booyah actually gets a percentage, I believe, in their special meter.
Yes, I mean, it seems really overpowered. I'm curious to see how it'll work in practicality. I mean, it could be great, but...
Yeah, we'll see in the next update, so yeah, we'll see.
As for me, obviously I was playing Splatoon 2, and I'm happy to say that I did get a King rank, which is the first time in a while. I think like 2 or 3 Splatfests, I can't remember, it's been so long. I actually did really well in this Splatfest, I'm not gonna lie. I was doing good, and then it was all taken from me because I had a team, and you guys know the team I'm talking about, where everything is working, like, everything is clicking. I had a 6-match win streak going, right? And then we're getting ready for the, like, the 7th match, and communication error. And then I'm forced back to the lobby. I'm like, no! I mean, seriously? So, and I had some good teams after that, and I've won enough, obviously, to get... I definitely won more than I lost, which is what I was happy about. And I had many victories where I was the top Inkling on my squad, so that was pretty cool, too. But... yeah, it was pretty fun. Shifty Station was not up to snuff. It shifted was the mattresses or trampolines or whatever you want to call them. And
right.
It wasn't the level of the last couple, or basically all of the Shifty Stations, because those have always been good. But, you know, I honestly couldn't really tell the difference between it and Nintendo Switch Online and what we had before, because I still had communications errors, I still had, you know, we couldn't connect with consoles and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know if it's really worth it. I got it just because I wanted to play the Splatfest and defend the modern honor. Stay fresh. So there was that. But aside from that, and obviously Heroes, I actually want to make a special note of Heroes. They ended Book 2.
Yes.
Suddenly.
They did. It did really feel abrupt. Sudden. It did feel sudden, because, I mean, like, we were going after this whole, hey, we have to stop the Rite of Flames, and that was fine, and then all of a sudden it was like, I heard that this was the last one, and I'm like, wait, what? And so, so spoilers, Surtur's, we kill Surtur, so he unintentionally kills one of his own daughters. Willingly is about to let the other one die. We save that one. The general, Helbindi, he sacrifices himself, basically, to save the young prince of Nifl. Nifl? And then, as if that wasn't heartbreaking enough, Fjorm is dying.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
After she all but proclaims her love for your character, which could be taken so many different ways.
Yeah,
so I don't know. And the weird thing is if you think about it, we knew about Book 2 before Book 1 ended.
Right.
So when are we going to... There's clearly going to be Book 3, because we still got the Asker presence, we still got Zacharias to deal with. And
he just appeared out of nowhere, too. Yeah. He was just surprise, right. I'm
Deus Ex Zacharias. So, you know, I'd be very surprised if... very soon, within like the next week or so, we get a tease of Book 3. And then there's still Loki. We have no idea what she's up to.
Yes.
A lot of things, but, you know, I felt that I'm with Tyler. It was a little abrupt, you know. Like, I wondered when we got the whole Muspel General's banner, I'm like, is this going to be the end soon? Because there's no reason they would do this unless we aren't going to see these characters soon. So, and I got Helbindi, so, you know,
nice.
I got 1 of 3, so it only took me 400 orbs, kidding, it took me 40, so, yeah, I don't know, but hopefully we can announce it soon, because, you know, we need to know what's coming next, so.
So, yeah, we're expecting another Faye channel coming up soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
We are heading to the fall season soon, yeah, so
yeah.
We are just about time, and plus we just hit a new Legendary banner now with Legendary Tiki.
Yes, I like Legendary Tiki. I'm really excited for that. A
Legendary
lot of
Young
like
Tiki, let's be
young
clear.
Tiki, young Tiki.
Young
Tiki.
Yeah.
So, and then for me, I have been playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Torna, the Golden Country. I'm actually surprised by how much I'm enjoying it because, you know, you never know with these quote-unquote expansion games and everything. And this is technically, they noted this is a standalone prequel to Xenoblade Chronicles 2, but you don't have to have played Xenoblade Chronicles 2 to understand the game, which is very true. You'll definitely get more from it, but it's not a requirement. For those who have played Xenoblade Chronicles 2, the battle system is somewhat the same, but it does have some big changes. For example, you can actually switch roles with your blades in battle to do attacks as them. So your main character, Lorna, she can switch with Jin and Haze on command, which is very handy to have. And there's also different special attacks, but there's still like the combo specials and everything else. So it's a nice balance between old and new, so I appreciated that. The story is very much in line with what Xenoblade Chronicles 2 did, which is obvious because it's a prequel, but you get to see the new Torna Titan, which is very very different from the others. We get to meet Adam, who is the hero of old. He's a very interesting character, very, very enjoyable. I think one thing I find very interesting is I'm enjoying Lorna more than I did Rex.
Yeah, I've heard great things about the expansion, especially the characters.
Yeah, Lorna is a great main character. She's very down to earth. She's somewhat standard, but yet she has these qualities that make her very different from a guy like Rex. Her voice actress is spot on. Her interactions with Jin are hilarious. This isn't a spoiler. Basically, she proclaims how cool he is in a way that is like so overdramatic. It's hilarious. And then she goes, "There, I don't think any girl could say no to you." And I'm like, "Wait, what's going on here?"
Nice.
Oh yeah, it's great. And then Jin is a very big surprise. I know you guys haven't gotten to the end of the story, so I won't spoil anything. But how you see him in Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is very different from how you see him in Torna, which is, again, to be expected, but not to this extent. Like, they have fleshed out why he acts this way versus how he acts in the main game. So it's very, very cool. I'm not sure how far I am. I feel like I'm getting close to the end, even though I'm only, like, you know, 10 hours in. But I'm still having fun. There are new features that are nice. There are some features that aren't so nice. But, you know,
question, because I heard we're going to the whole community feature. Like,
that was one of those things, actually. But yeah, the community feature is interesting. So like the main game, you get quests, you get side quests, which I appreciate. But this time, the more you meet people, the more your community, quote unquote, grows. And then the more, if you can help people enough via these side quests, you actually draw them into your community. And the better your community level, which is kind of like the Titan Star level,
yes,
you know, like,
yes.
It's basically great. That you get more quests, you get more to do and everything, and it's an interesting feature, and it gives you a reason to talk to everyone. There is a main quest where you have to go from community level 1 to community level 2, which means you have to complete a lot of side quests. Now granted, the area you're in when you start this gives you a lot of side quests, but you still have to do some traveling, and some of the side quests are... You have to feed a Nopon. Like, really? And, like, so you have to cook food and feed it, and then it's like, "Oh, that was so delicious. Now bring me some dessert." I'm like, screw you, you
Yeah,
dumb
that's
Nopon.
So many Xenoblade 2 quests are like that. Like, yeah. Go here and do this. Bring this back. Okay, now go right back to where you were before and grab me something different.
Now, I will say that Nopon quest is a little bit of the minority. Most of the side quests I've done have been more or less easy enough, with the exception of like doing combo specials in battle, which sometimes are hard to do depending on the foe you're facing. But because you don't have to set those as active, you can just accumulate that over time and go and do it. It's well enough, so that didn't bother me. But yes, there are some quests like that Nopon quest and fetch quests, obviously. So, but if you go and collect enough, like you should in the game anyway, you're gonna be fine more or less. One thing I
One thing
did
I did
appreciate
appreciate.
is there's a new campfire feature. And what this is basically your group gathers around a campfire, and it basically works like an inn, kind of, sort of. But you get to have these new chats that you wouldn't have had otherwise with the characters, and it has some fun little interactions. There's also the crafting system, which is way simplified this time. Every character in your party has a thing they can craft, whether it's a food, an item, perfume, kid you not, and other items, and so it's really easy to go into and craft, and of course it boosts your stats and everything. So there's that. The affinity system is still there. I think it's actually a little bit better this time around, but there are still some things that are a little too specific for my taste, but what are you gonna do? The voice acting is more or less spot on. I think there's a person from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the game.
No way.
I can't confirm it. If you guys watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't, but
Okay.
oh, the show. Okay.
Okay, there's a character named Fitz, and there's a character in the game named Hugo, who's the king of a more one of the princes of Moradin, and he sounds like that guy, him from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like accent and all. If it's not him, it's darn close, you know? So that just took me aback. But the main characters like Mithra, Malos, Jin, they all have their voice actors returning. So Brigid too. You know, it's a really good. I recommend this expansion for you too when you do get it. If you get it, the physical version, it does cost $40. However, you get a code to unlock all the other things in the expansion pass, which means you'll get like the extra battle modes. You'll get the chance to get Shulk and who's the girl?
Right, right, right. Pretty much everything else, like the Battle
Yeah.
Frontiers and all that. Yeah,
Yeah, all of them.
but
You'll
also that's also included with the digital last I checked as well, like the
I
digital
can't I
expansion
cannot
pass.
confirm that. I wouldn't be surprised, but I can't confirm that. I can only confirm the physical version. But and
Oh,
technically,
okay.
you can only get the digital version via the expansion pass.
Yeah, so that would mean that you would get the
Yeah.
other stuff.
So it may seem steep, but given that you're allowed all the other content, it's like you bought the expansion pass in the first place. So, which I wasn't expecting because they didn't advertise that. So I will be getting Elma, and I am going to use her as one of my plays because
Yeah, she's awesome.
freaking
She's
Elma.
awesome.
So, but I will have my review up. I have a con this weekend, so I doubt I'll be able to beat the game before then. If I do, I'd be surprised, but you never know. I hope to have my review up maybe Monday, Tuesday, just depending on how my work days go. But so far, I am very much enjoying the game. It's great to be back in Studio Blade, and if it wasn't for The World Ends With You coming out in a few weeks, I would be jumping back into the main game and starting in the new game plus mode. So, yeah. So right now, I would give it a 4 out of 5, which is a
Nice.
little lower than the main game, but also the main game was like 65 hours long. So I'm pretty sure this one's not going to be 65 hours. It would be awesome if it was. I don't think it is, but we'll see. But yeah. So far, I highly recommend it. All right. Well, now that we got done with that, there has been a very interesting set of news coming out this week. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right. So if you've listened to us in the past, we've talked about the GameCube a lot, including a certain someone wanting a Skies of Arcadia sequel.
I
Gee, I wonder who that is.
wonder.
But there's been one of the reasons the GameCube is such a weird console is because it was underpowered technically. The small disc.
No, GameCube was the strongest console of its generation.
Really? Huh, I forgot that. Yeah. But anyway, but so yeah, so it had the most power. It had the weirdest shape. It had the really small discs, which I honestly felt I was gonna break every time I touched. I didn't, but you know, it was an option. But it also had one of the best gaming libraries in history, in my opinion. So, but one of the things that I'm actually proud of that I played was a duo of titles called Bait and Kaitos.
Button
Which,
titles, yeah.
what?
Oh, well, I pronounce it as button titles.
When a Baitin, Baton, Tomato, Alfredo, whatever. I appreciate everyone who got the Death Battle reference. But yeah, so Baton Kaitos was one of the more unique RPGs that you could get on the GameCube. And it was actually made by Monolith Soft, ironically enough, the team behind the Xenoblade Chronicles series. And the first game, which was called Eternal Wings in the Lost Ocean, did well enough. And then they made a prequel called, or prequel sequel called Baten Kaitos Origins, which I played and beat. And apparently, according to Monolith Soft, there was supposed to be a third game. And the director of those games, and Xenoblade, Yasuyuki Hone, noted the following. He goes, "It's been more than 10 years since the release of Baten Kaitos 2, and even now it pains me that I continue to receive requests for a sequel. I think the statute of limitations has run out, so I can say a little bit about it. Immediately after the release of Baten Kaitos 2, Namco, now Bandai Namco, worked on a sequel up until the pre-production phase. But just before Baten Kaitos 3 could become a reality, the story ended due to the circumstances of the involved parties." He notes that this is when Namco became Bandai Namco, and that kind of shifted a lot of things around. "If we made it, it would have been grand scale game with settings at the bottom of the sea, on land, and in the sky. If you know the game, you understand why it's important. There's a large amount of concept art for the sequel sealed away at Bandai Namco. Requests for a sequel should be directed not just to myself and Monolith Soft, but also to Bandai Namco." So.
Yeah, they just listened to that, and yeah, it brings back a lot of memories when I played the original Baten Kaitos.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the whole sea, especially the whole traffic, especially with you are your own unique character, which is pretty amazing.
And of course, in my opinion, one of the best twists in all of gaming.
Yes,
should we spoil it for them? Well,
it's been more than 20 years, I think. It's
okay,
like 10 years.
So in the main game. Who's the main character again? I can't.
Ah, remember. I forgot his name. I don't like him too.
Here, look, I know. I remember Saki was Origin. So let's see, Baten Kaitos characters. Yeah. Anyway, but basically, you play a Kallus. There you go. You play as Kallus, a kid who is bonded with, let's just call it a spirit, and you yourself are the spirit. Now, here's the thing. You've been going out throughout the realm to find these parts of a god called Malpertia. How I remember that is beyond me, but let's just roll with it. So throughout the game, you're trying to collect the parts of Malpertia so that this dark god cannot return, right? So about halfway through the game, somewhat, you find out that Kallus is the bad guy the whole time. And he actually injured you, the spirit, so that you would bond with him and not remember that he was the bad guy in the first place.
Oh, the deception!
Yeah, also he could get a pure white wing via the Dark God, another girl who you thought was a good girl but was evil. You know, what are you going to do? So, but the way they presented it, it was just like, wait, what?
I feel so betrayed. I feel so used.
Yeah, like, we were used. We were so used. We were the spirit. We were used. So, yeah, like, that was really, really cool. And then Baten Kaitos Origins, which is actually about the parents of one of, or the ancestors of one of the main characters in the original game, they had, like, that, they expanded about the Dark God, how it came to be, the events that led up to it and everything. And it was really good. So I'm actually kind of sad that there wasn't Baten Kaitos 3 because of the Bandai Namco merger. So that's kind of disappointing to me.
It's like I'm just going to imagine what kind of concept that they got hidden away at Bandai Namco. Like, yeah, all I just really can say is for the fans right now, they need, like, yeah, definitely throw your request at them right now if Bandai Namco, like, knows anything. I mean, heck, they're bringing back old good classic RPGs to modern day, like Tales of Vesperia. So why not probably, like, start the flames again of Baten Kaitos? Who knows?
Ironically, when I was researching the article to put it up on the Outer Haven, I found out there was a change.org petition for Baten Kaitos 3. It only had like 2,200 signatures. What are you gonna do?
You never know.
I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, it's clear that he wants it, and there's, you know, the concept art for it. So, I mean, given everything the Switch has done, why not just remake it? You know, remake the first two HD. Plus, you know, mechanical fixes, you know, obviously.
Yes.
Put those as a bundle, see how they sell, and then let's make Baten Kaitos 3. Let's do it!
Yep, that seems that's a good route. that
I
many
mean,
games have been going
if they
these
can
days,
bring
yes.
back if they can bring back like 11-year-old games like The World Ends With You and put a final remix on it, which we'll be talking about in a second, there's no reason they can't play Botan Kaitos, and then Tyler can play it and he can understand why we want Botan Kaitos 3.
Listen, your summary has me interested. I definitely want to check it out. And I think it should come out in 2019 along with every other game ever.
Never know. Never know. So, like I said, so if you are a fan of Botan Kaitos and Botan Kaitos Origins and you want Botan Kaitos 3, you need to message Bandai Namco, get them to say, hey, we need HD remakes, we need a third game, we need to finish the story, or, more or less finish the story. So... Oh, and Tyler, here's the other thing. In Botan Kaitos Origins, the main character, Saki, was such a player, he even had a robot in love with him. Yeah. So.
Who is the bigger player, though? Your player character in Fire Emblem Heroes, who every single female hero loves, or
well,
the main character of Origins?
I would say Saki just because, the Fire Emblem Heroes talk is ambiguous, slightly. Like, Shirena, you could argue, yes, Fjorm, obviously, but all the rest are, ambiguous, at best. Saki, though, they literally talk about the love quadrangle that is going on in the game, including the robot girl and a girl who, I kid you not, has a body of a tree.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, JRPGs, everybody. Now, for the record, she was part human, got injured, got healed by a magical tree. Now she's got a wood body. It's like, and she still likes Saki. So it's like, what is going on? Now, it's just to put your mind at ease, because I'm sure you got a lot of weird thoughts going in through your head. He does eventually get married to the only human of that quadrangle. So, okay. So no weirdness there. That game was so weird.
And we love the Monolith
Software. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. All right. Let's move on. All right. So, as I noted earlier, after I'm done with Torna and the Golden Country, all my focus is going to be on The World Ends With You Final Remix, coming on Switch on October 12th. And Tetsuya Nomura, who was the character, director, and producer for the game and the Final Remix version, is making it very... very clear. He wants a gosh dang freaking sequel for this title. Alright? Like, he was hinting at it before and all that, but now he basically has come out and said, yeah, I want a sequel. I want it to happen. This is our chance to do it. Because in two different interviews, he said two different things that's suggesting this. Here's the first one. He was doing a show in Japan, and he goes, this release, 11 years later, is entirely thanks to the dedicated fans that The World Ends With You. Rather than call us a remaster, I like to think of this version of the game as a new beginning. I will be working hard on future development that will make you glad that you supported this game so passionately for so long. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he did another interview just before the game's release, and he goes, I have had the chance to attend various events in different countries during the 11 years following the release of World Ends With You. On many occasions, I have been interviewed by both fans and the media who have told me how much they want me to make a sequel of The World Ends With You. We've been looking for an opportunity. There were a few times we tried to get it started, but time passed without it coming to realization. There are a number of implications behind this Final Remix version. In addition to my intention of making this my last time working on the original game, hint hint, I think this is the final chance for creating a path to the next step, which I've had ideas about since the first launch 11 years ago. So yeah, he's tired of remakes. He wants to make a sequel.
Well, that's kind of odd, given his other franchise.
Oh, hey. This guy is working on Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy, and World Ends With You. He's clearly got time! So, yeah.
it's interesting to hear Nomura, really express himself like this. Like, again, I haven't played before the end of year, so I'm very curious regarding to this game. But to hear him, really express that he wants to make a sequel to a very niche title, as he said, over a decade old, is there is a lot of fans and a lot of drive to actually want to make a sequel to this game. Heck, we had to wait nearly more than a decade for Kingdom Hearts 3, so why not with World Ends With You?
Well, see, here's the thing, and I know you guys haven't played the game, so I'll speak from experience. When the game came out, and I only learned about it because of X-Play, It was so special, so unique that it got a lot of praise from critics and gamers. But because it was, let's say not as advertised as much as it probably could have been, it was more or less a cult classic. But then they ported it onto mobile platforms and iOS and Android, and it just kept getting this following because the gamers remember what it was like on the DS, and they're like, "We want a sequel." The world was literally so unique and interesting and special that it was unlike any other RPG out there. Even today, I would put it up against just about any RPG and say, "Find me a game that's like World Ends With You." So for it to, coming out on the Switch 11 years later, totally getting it, and them saying we want to make a sequel again, and even after all this time, shows that the love has not died. And as we saw with Bot and Kaitos, there's a lot of reasons that a game doesn't get made for one reason or another. This one was just, I think, sales, pure and simple. So if the Switch version gets sales, we will totally get The World Ends With You too, and it will be a beautiful day. Anyone? No?
That sounds like a beautiful day to me.
But yeah, I am hopeful, and hearing Nomura talk about how much he wants the sequel brings makes me smile because it's not just 'cause let's be honest here, we've all done it. We've all wanted sequels to games that we're probably never going to get, and to like the publishers were just white noise. That was not a pun on the monsters of World Ends With You. It just came out. But with this, it's clear we're not white noise. They are listening to every word we say, and he wants to make this game, so let him make it.
Just let the Square Enix head honchos hear about this, then we'll see.
But so for anyone, that goes for you, Tyler, and you, Will, when the game comes out, get it, spread the word about it, praise it. Hopefully it's, the only, I do have some concerns because it worked really well on the DS. I'm curious to see how it'll work on the Switch, but they said they've worked it out and Nomura knows how to work this, so why not? But spread the word, let's get a sequel. We deserve it. Seriously, I'm tired of asking for this. Give me a gosh dang sequel. Calm me down. All right, so moving on to a topic that we can all talk about. Smash Brothers.
Hey.
Yeah, a game you might have heard of, has some hype going into its December 7th launch, just a little,
A little bit.
a little bit. It's not like there's been whole directs dedicated to this game or something like that. No,
Ha.
hardly. So, as you know, we 2 weeks ago now. It's already been 2 weeks, gosh dang. So 2 weeks ago, we had the Nintendo Direct, which revealed that Isabelle from Animal Crossing, was going to be in Smash Brothers. And as we know from the very first reveal of Smash Brothers Ultimate at E3 2018, Sakurai said that there was not going to be as many new Smash Brothers characters. And since that announcement, we've had a bunch of characters, both Echoes and fully new characters, and now including Isabelle. But Sakurai has revealed that he's going to be showing some restraint on when we're going to be getting the other character reveals. He said in his weekly column at Famitsu, he goes, "It'd be incorrect to say that we're going to keep releasing information on new fighters until the game release, which is December 7th. Up until now, we've been revealing characters one after another a bit too quickly, so we're going to show some restraint from this point on," which is not something we want to hear.
But I think we expected it,
Yeah,
right?
we
I mean,
expected it.
listen, I've been telling you about the box theory. I think that this is another bit of evidence for it. I mean, two more reveals would be shockingly little, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I feel like he's not kidding. Sakurai always says stuff like this, and then we think he's and then we believe him, and then he turns out that, well, and actually we're going to get a gajillion newcomers. This time I feel like he actually means it. I don't expect to see any new newcomer until the next Smash Bros. Direct, which I think probably comes out in November.
I agree.
Yes,
And
yes,
that's when we get the spirit stuff. And in the last direct, there was Crom, Dark Samus, and King K. Rool reveal. That's three characters. I wouldn't be surprised if we got Ken, Incineroar, who's the rumored character, and then the first DLC character, which I think could be Geno or Sora.
I'm
That's
sold
my
Pyrex and
expectation,
Pyra.
honestly. That's my expectation. And if that happens, I'd be happy with it. I mean, we know that we're gonna get DLC and we'll get more characters from since then, but I or
True.
after that. But I do think that when he says restraint, I think he means it this time.
It's possible. Well, go ahead.
Well, but like it's as you said, because if anything else, Daddy Sakurai has been very spoiling us to the points, and even with like how much he has like strained and stressed over like keeping these things a secret, I'm not really surprised that he is like wanting to like not like again. We got spoiled to the point, so it's time to like show such control. And then we have to like wait until the next things. I mean, yes, it's disappointment to some fans. I myself like, I wish there was like more characters. Like heck, even a direct is coming this in the October month. But I wouldn't mind if they took this 1 month off and then have one more direct before the release date. So. I'm sad, but at the same time, I'm not surprised. So, but here, as you said, here's hoping we're going to the DLC lineup and something that really will blow us away. I don't know. I had a lot of people still want Goku.
Yeah, the hype cycle, I'm glad that Sakurai, he didn't really get ahead of it, but the hype cycle has been so crazy. I saw Game Explain had like this 31-minute discussion about this alleged blog theory that said, if you go off the trends of the previous blogs, they're going to run out of new or old characters to show, and we're probably going to get like 8 more characters could fit, or 7 more characters could fit into this, into the same blog schedule, and then we'll get the same release count. Like, that's crazy. That's so much, and people are really starting to like hype that one up because it's the alternative to the box theory. I think where, you know, if you're a pessimist like me, you're thinking that one's right, and if you're an optimist, you're thinking the other one's right. But I just think there's no evidence to corroborate the fact that there would actually be 7 new characters yet to be revealed. I mean, that's a ridiculous pace, and this kind of put that idea to bed.
Yeah, I'm kind of where you are, Tyler. I mean, if you think about, let's think about Smash 4 for a sec. We had that big leak, which kind of ruined like Duck Hunt Dog and everything. And
yes.
I think that Sakurai, who has done very well with the leaks so far, I mean, there's been teases and guesses, but I mean, not as big as like the Smash 4 leaks. And Sakurai even noted in one of the Famitsu articles that he's worked very hard to make sure that the flow of information ended at Nintendo and did not get leaked out. So even box theory aside, which has some merit, I won't deny, but you know, I think he's gonna want at least have one character that he does not want to reveal until the day it comes out, and it'll be like, oh wait, we have one more character to reveal, and then like the trailer drops just like on the Nintendo Twitter feed or something like that. Because that's kind of how Sakurai rolls. He'll want to do like one last big reveal. So personally, I think there's going to be 5 more character reveals for in-game non-DLC. One of them will be an Echo Fighter, just because if that's how this game has been rolling, especially. And then it'll be 4 new characters. I wouldn't mind Ken. I definitely
Ken
want...
it'll be the Echo, you would think, right?
Because
he's
I guess he would be the Echo. So yeah, there you go. Ken's the Echo. Ken's the Echo. And then, let's see, you know, Rex and Pyra, Isaac from Golden Sun, because we have not seen him as an assist trophy, you know, and certain other characters, blah, 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 blah. Maybe Banjo-Kazooie, who knows. We can dream. We can dream.
Yeah, that would be hype.
Dream. Then, hey, Will, who's the main character from Skies of Arcadia? Let's just throw them in Smash.
I would be very happy. Heck, I don't even be very happy if they include them with a trophy allowed. Because again, they are in the GameCube lineage, so why not? I mean, how trophies, or heck, even have Vice. I would love it so much. Ooh, some
keep
of them,
dream, keep
but wait,
dreaming.
We have them already.
Keep dreaming. Anyway, so you know, I think 5 more characters. 1 will be revealed on launch day. I definitely think there will be a direct in November to reveal some of the others, if not the rest of the others. Which would mean that the entire month of October, we're just sitting there salivating, waiting, anticipating what will come next. So I think for Sakurai, his desire here is he wants to keep it anticipated, which he's already done a fantastic job of doing so far. But he wants to just string it out as long as possible, and then more than likely 2 weeks after the Smash is released and they have like, you know, 5 million sales or something like that, Sakurai go, well, we're glad you joined the game. Let's tell you about the DLC characters, and then they'll bust out like Sora or Geno or someone like that. So we'll see, because Sakurai is the master of manipulation. He knows how to make us happy.
Oh yeah.
And it turned like the case in point, the Ridley reveal. He said, you know, there's not going to be a lot of new characters. But I got one to reveal today, and it was, like, the biggest requested one by a large margin, as Snake would say. Oh, by the way, for all you Smash fans, there is a YouTube channel. It's called, like, Snake Codec. What's it called, Will? The
Lock Content, yeah.
That one. And they have they basically do codec conversations about all the Smash Brothers characters, and they did one about Cloud recently, just totally destroying everything that was PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royal.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
It's so beautiful. It's like, even Snake was like, what were they thinking with that dumpster fire of a game? And then he criticized Raiden for being in it, and they're like, hey, there's a reason I'm in Smash Bros. And not in that game, you know? So, go watch that, good fun, but... I'm with you, Tyler. I think that the next reveal would be October. Oh, sorry, November. Like, when they do, like, a direct a month before. So
Yeah.
When does Pokemon Let's Go come out? Isn't it, like, the 16th?
I think it's November 16th. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. They'll do, like, a direct maybe a week or so before to hype up that game. But then they'll also tie it Smash Brothers so that, you know, they can just talk about everything that's coming out in the next month. And then that's when they'll drop the next characters. So.
Yeah, that would be interesting if they did it like a two-game direct. They've never done something like that, but that'd be interesting.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. All right. Ironically enough, speaking of Pokemon, Pokemon's had some very interesting news and revelations, including a brand new Steel-type Pokemon called Melton. Yeah. Melton. So apparently this Pokemon is appeared in a Pokemon Go. And based on rumors and speculation, will be the new Pokemon you find in Pokemon Let's Go, where you can actually catch it. You can't catch in Pokemon Go at present. Yeah, Melton.
This is the stupidest looking Pokemon I've ever seen.
Pretty much.
I mean, they have some bad ones now, but this one is just, it's like it's a Ditto. Without a face, with like a circle and
a
like
nut.
It's
called a nut, yeah.
Yeah, a nut as its face, and a tail that's like a Pikachu tail, but like kind of like a janky looking Pikachu tail. It's the weirdest looking thing. Now, the way they revealed it was kind of cool, though, with it coming out in Pokemon Go, as this, like, they replaced all the Dittos with Meltans, because Ditto saw Meltan and was copying it, and then. You know, Professor Willow discovered it or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, that was pretty cool. But the actual design, I mean, this is one of the worst designs I've ever seen. Like, who approved this?
Yeah.
It's definitely
bad.
It's definitely unique, to say the least. Like, the fact that you're having a metallic goo with a nut for a face with an eye inside the hole is like, what is this little homunculus? It's like, I wonder.
I mean, I love giving credit to the Pokemon team and Game Freak for the, because they always seem to pull something out of their hats right when they need it. This is not one of those times. I mean, we've had some bad Pokemon designs, like, oh, I don't know, Vanillice,
yeah.
Chandelure, Trubbish and Garbodor. Really? But Melton. I mean, even the name. All right, Melton. Really? Melton.
Yeah, it's a melting on a freaking metal goo. I don't know.
I mean, they've come up, they've done weird designs and totally made it work, like Volcanion. I mean, seriously, that was a really good Pokemon movie. But really, Melton. That's your big reveal. That's your big, you know, big surprise for Pokemon Let's Go. Melton. Really?
Yeah, Pokemon Let's Go is shaping up to be what I expected it to be. Did I make this point last week?
Oh, jeez.
About Town and how good Town looks and why that's like a direct reason why I'm so disappointed in how Pokemon Let's Go looks?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, I want to reiterate that point. Why can't they make a game look like the Town looks so good?
I don't know. It's they wanted to do a mixed style that resembles more of Pokemon Go, and that's the way they chose it. So, I know. Melton, everybody. Melton. All right, so from a bad design decision to a meltdown, that almost caused the end of the Pokemon game franchise. So, I want you to picture in your minds, everyone, the worst thing a computer has ever done to you.
All right. Crash and blue screen.
Yes, or a power outage when you're doing the middle of work, or you absolutely have to use your computer, something like that, all right? Now, imagine that you're working on a video game, and your computer crashes, which it happens, but it crashes in a way that you can't exactly get the data off of it. How screwed are you?
Very.
Very screwed. So now hear the story of how this actually happened to the Game Freak team during the original creation of Pokemon Red, Blue, and Green. Because this actually happened, and it came very close to the Pokemon games not being made. So, it's true. So, here's what happened. So, they were working on the titles, and this comes from Junoichi Masada, who is one of the people who worked at Game Freak and has worked there for a very long time. And he tells Polygon this story. He goes, somewhere midway through the development, maybe in the fourth year or so, we had a really bad crash that we didn't know how to recover the computer from. That computer had all the data for the game, all of the Pokemon, the main character, and everything. It felt like, oh my gosh, if we don't recover this data, we're finished here. I just remember doing a lot of research. I called the company that I used to work for, seeing if they had any advice to recover the data. I would go onto the internet service provider. Try imagine going to the internet in 1990-something. Then called Nifty Serve. It's a Japanese version of Computer Serve. I'd go on to ask people that I never talked to before for advice on how to recover the data. I would look at English books about the machine itself because there weren't a lot of information in Japanese just to figure it out. Finally, we eventually figured out how to recover it, but it was like that nerve-wracking moment.
So. Yeah, that's... If you work with computers, you can really... Late, it's like, oh no, what do we do? Do I go to my provider? Do I have a backup drive? Like, yeah, that panic is, that's the worst feeling.
Yeah, it's amazing how far we've come in such little time. Like, I'm sure now they have all that stuff backed up on about 100 different devices. Like,
well, yeah, for like a very video game company, I'm sure, but there are still times when I actually had something happen to me where a story I wrote online years ago was suddenly taken down, and even though I could find like the main page of the story via backup servers, all the chapters that were linked to other pages weren't saved. So the last quarter of my story, which was 20 chapters, is gone, and I can't replace it because I can't find it. So yeah, but enough about my woes. This almost happened to Pokemon. So imagine that. Okay, I want you to imagine the world and Nintendo without the Pokemon game franchise.
Yeah, that is impossible. That is impossible.
So yes, because that means no Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow, none of the other regions, no Pokemon Stadium, no Pokemon Snap, no Pokemon Coliseum, no Pokemon Battle Revolution. Okay, I can imagine the world without that. none of the handhelds.
Spin Zone, do you think that retro... computer shut down and they can't get the data off it, and that's why we haven't heard from them 6 years. They were working on a project for like 5 years, and then their computer broke and they can't get the data off it.
You never know. Never know, but it's just hearing that this happened to Game Freak is both horrifying because we almost lost 20 years of our gaming lives, and kind of makes you smile because it's like, oh, it happens to them too. See, these are the stories you never hear about during development because it's almost too horrifying to talk about. But then you hear about, years later, kind of like with Botan Kaitos, where it's like, you don't want to show weakness until years after when you can look back and laugh at it. So, thank goodness for the world this didn't happen to Pokemon, because I guarantee you my life wouldn't have been the same without the Pokemon games.
I agree.
So here's another way of looking at it. If it wasn't for the Pokemon games, there's no way the anime would have gone beyond the first, 80 episodes.
The original.
Because it was the popularity of the games and the sales of Red, Blue, and Green, then Yellow, that, inspired, hey, let's keep making more. So without the games, the anime wouldn't have gone 20 years, the manga wouldn't have gone 20 years, and at most it would have been like, remember that one anime series, Pokemon or whatever? Oh my gosh, Digimon would probably still be alive.
right, and I still remember, back in the day when it was booming, they said this thing's going to be a fad that's going to end up in like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try to go 10 times that hot shot. So, again, if anything, this podcast could have been like the more you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 101, the more you know, because wow, yeah. All right, so moving on, Nintendo Switch Online, so it's live now, and you know, outside of some small problems, I've heard that the launch was more or less successful. Apparently, there's been a data that says over 25% of all Switch owners have Nintendo Switch Online, which is basically 5 million downloads of the service. And I think this is in like the first week or so. I can't confirm that. I didn't bring up the article this time, but.
And this is not including going to the free 7-day trial period, correct?
I cannot confirm or deny that.
Hmm.
It's on Nintendo Everything if you want to look it up, but. Yeah, 25% at present. It's more like probably closer to 30 by now. But I still find that interesting that only 25%, and you have to wonder how much of that was because of the Splatfest.
Right, right.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Because that was pretty much the only major event that's happening that required Nintendo Online.
Pretty much.
And given to the fact that, yeah, it's kind of weird because that was the whole major debacle back then. Like, you pay games for, like, it was clearly $60 or even more, and everyone's kind of clamoring to pay over $20 on the online services while you're also paying PlayStation Plus or Xbox Gold Live more than that. I mean, the main argument is basically that, again, the service is pretty much nothing, if anything else. It's just basically tacked on to what we currently have right now. It's just a $20 price of entry. But yeah, it's a weird issue regarding to the online service. And frankly, I'm not really surprised that only 25% of the users only have downloaded the service. It's only really due to the, if you really are invested in online play. I mean, if you don't want to play online, like, I don't know, like Super Mario Odyssey or Link or Breath of the Wild, you really don't need online. You don't really need the service.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing you really need is like Mario Kart 8 and Splatoon 2. I mean, no major online titles until like Smash Bros. Then.
Yeah, I mean, Mario Kart 8's a big deal. And I, you know, I've actually heard pretty good things about the fact that you can use voice chat in that game now through the app. I've heard that works fairly well, which is surprising.
Yeah, the app apparently got a big boost in downloads because of the Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah. So I mean, that's good on that front. I actually really enjoyed the NES games that we had. I only played the ones that you would expect: Mario Bros., Mario Bros. 3, and Zelda. But it's not nice to have those games on the Switch. $20 a year is still a lot when you could buy those on any other, you know, previous Nintendo system for pennies on. But still, they're adding stuff regularly. Although the newest games, the next 3 months of games that come out aren't that impressive. October is like nothing good. December, I know, has Wario's Woods, which is, it's kind of a fun puzzle game.
Wow.
But there's not a lot of big titles that are coming, and it's definitely weird. Like, I don't know if it's an issue with Capcom or what to get Mega Man on there, but
you would expect
some of the games that I would think should be there aren't yet, so that's disappointing. But at the same time, I've kind of enjoyed having it.
It's one of those weird things, because, you know, we've had, you know, 18 months of free internet, and, you know, some issues aside, like with Tyler and his thing, it's been good service. And then, you know, sure, we didn't have the virtual console or whatever, but, you know, it worked. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we want you to pay $20 a year, which again is a pittance. It's freaking pittance. It's literally like $1.5 a month for good internet service. So, you know,
good internet service.
I've had the same issues with Nintendo Switch Online that I had without it. So, and it was only the first, you know, week or so. So it theoretically could only get better from here. So it works, and that's all that matters to me. But, you know, yeah, they need to spice it up more. They need to add more Nintendo games. They need to add more variety and give us another reason to have it. Yes, the cloud saves are nice, sure, and you can actually get them within 18 months of losing a subscription, which was not advertised at first, which scared a lot of people. So
I think it was 6 months, though.
Okay, yeah, 6 months, I think.
Okay, yeah. still, it's a lot of time. So, you know, they did some things right, but we'll just have to see. But they have to give us another reason to want beyond the voice chat, which again is a good feature. But you know, it's not enough, and the games are all right, but they need to add more. You know, they gotta give us more reasons. So hopefully, within these next, before the end of the year, we have more reasons to appreciate Nintendo Switch.
Exactly. We're going to, like, yeah, they only briefly talked about, like, the whole offer thing at the end of their presentation. So yeah, definitely show off more regarding to, like, the offers or even, like, the exclusive things. Like, yeah, again, sell us on this online service. Like, why is it so much better than PlayStation Plus or Xbox Gold Live, which they currently have a multi-platform library, which you get, which, yeah, I'm curious to see what Nintendo's going to do. I mean, heck, put an SNES titles or for that matter, or yeah, even N64 titles.
All right, so for our last few stories, Mario Party, Super Mario Party, is coming out very soon. Isn't it like October 2nd?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just very soon. Yes.
So we're actually days away from the release of Super Mario Party. But there may be a reason for you not to get it outside of the fear of it not being a good Mario Party game. Apparently, you can only play it in certain ways. By that I mean you cannot play it in handheld mode, cannot use Nintendo Switch controller. Sorry, Nintendo. That would be weird. You can't use a Switch. You have to use an Xbox controller. No, you cannot use the Pro controller, and you cannot use the Joy-Con grip controller. So you only can use like the singular ones, or use the platform the dock that they have for the controller. That's apparently the only way you can play it. So that's very, very limiting. It's kind of weird, to be honest with you, because this would be like one of the few Switch games outside of indie titles, because you know that makes sense to an extent, that have very, very few ways of actually being able to play the game. So I don't know. I play only in handheld mode, so this would mean I have to, you know, set up to the dock, which take all of 2 minutes, and that's 2 minutes I don't want to waste and all that. I don't know. I'm just...
Well, that's the thing. You got to get it, because we can play it online. I mean, that's a big issue.
Yeah.
Nintendo Switch Online, it's a yet another great reason to get it. Online Super Mario Party with the NEP crew.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to do it. Don't get me wrong, I want to do it, but it's just I'm going to have to set it up on my TV, which is a little hard to do, but I don't know. This just seems really limiting. Like, this seems like a miss. Now, granted, some of the mini games require you to not use the Switch controller screen as a screen, but that should only be for local play, not online play. So it's like, what's going on here?
I think makes sense. I mean, given the way you're using the Joy-Cons in these games, it's definitely it's not like a demo, but some of the minigames will feel that way for sure. The single Joy-Con controller is probably the only way that you can play a lot of these games. Actually, I'm actually fine with that. I'm glad that I'll have a use for my extra Joy-Cons, because I prefer the Pro controller for pretty much everything else. And Super Mario Party definitely does not. You wouldn't be able to play some of these minigames with the Pro controller.
Right.
Okay, I just reread the article. It says that the only way you could play it is through the TV while utilizing a Joy-Con controller in your hand, or you could play in tabletop mode with a similar control method. So you don't. I guess I don't have to plug into my TV, so that's good. It's just I can't have the Joy-Cons locked into the screen.
Yes,
so,
which
isn't as much of a limitation. I've honestly never used tabletop mode, but I would be willing to do that. So.
Yeah, I'm just recalling regarding to like the game details they have showed off recently, regarding to that one tricycle mini game, which you actually have to use your Joy-Con as a tricycle mini bike. Granted, I can understand why they would do this thing, because again, they want to show off the Joy-Cons. I mean, the only major like wall is obviously the price, because the Joy-Cons themselves like $70, almost $80 last night. Yeah, it's like $70-$80. I forgot the price. So yeah, if you got an extra Joy-Con, then yeah, one good for you that you have the one that came with your Switch, and now one more for a full set of four players. So I mean, as much as I would like to play with a Pro controller, I mean, I can understand why.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll just have to see. I'm very curious to see now what the reviews are going to be like, because you know that they're going to mention these controller restrictions, as they should, because that should be a negative that you can only play it like one of two ways when the Switch is preached: accessibility and, you know, flexibility. Well, yeah, we'll just have to see. All right, finally, if you've listened to the show for a long time, you know that me and Will and sometimes Tyler is a fan of the internet show called Death Battle. And Death Battle is about to have their 100th episode in 3 weeks. Basically, Death Battle is they put two characters from fiction into a literal death battle with science and logic and reasoning, depending on their histories, to see who would really win in a fight between the two. And the 100th episode is going to be a technical rematch between Mario and Sonic the Hedgehog. Now, obviously, we are all rooting for Mario because none of us here on NEP are Sonic fans. Isn't that right, Tyler?
No. And let me just say that this is dumb. Like, this is the stupidest question in the history of questions. Sonic obviously wins, unless you really skew the rules like they are to give Mario a chance. Like, I hate this so much. I'm not even going to watch it. I don't even care about it. It's dumb.
Hey, Will, do you know what Tyler sounds like?
I hate it.
Hate-ish?
And yet, correct.
No,
you're not correct.
You're not correct. They are not skewering the rules. They are literally going to be looking at the Mario and Sonic games, TV shows, the actual, like, legit TV shows, okay? So, obviously, like, and no movies, you know, no Super Mario Brothers movie, because we don't talk about that here. But, you know, they're going to look at the Archie comics. They're going to look at the Valiant comics, which is what Nintendo used to do. They'll look at all the games, the TV shows, so Sonic X, Sonic Boom, all of them. They're going to look at every single resource, and they're going to determine who is the winner under the modern Death Battle rules. Because they did the first battle between Mario and Sonic, in which Sonic won. They did that in episode 8, and they were still searching for their identity then. So for their 100th episode, they're going back to the most classic rivalry in gaming, applying the modern rules. They got an actual animation studio called Blind Ferret to make it look like an actual cartoon, and then they're going to have the 2D battle again. So I'm willing to give them a chance.
I'm not. I'm honestly not. I'm not remotely close to willing to give them a chance. This is a stupid idea. Just why can't they come up with, like, there's not one argument that why Mario would beat Sonic. Like, it's not even an interesting fight. Sonic has Mario defeated in every single category. There's not one thing that Mario can come close to, unless you're like, oh, Mario has access to every single item that he's ever used. He still doesn't have a chance. But it doesn't make any sense given, you know, how Mario getting power-ups even works. So this whole concept, and you know, it just annoys me because they're going to make Mario win because they need it to be different than the first one.
Even though there's
not a chance that Mario could ever defeat Sonic, ever. Like, if it was even looking bad for Sonic, all you would have to do is run away and then just chill and wait for Mario to get tired and then finish him off. Like, it's not a real... Like, it just, I hate this so much.
Coming from the Sonic fanboy here.
Yeah.
And the correct am right, though. Deep down that my point is valid.
I acknowledge that some of your points are valid. I acknowledge that if this was pure Mario versus pure Sonic, Sonic would dominate 7 out of 7 days of the week. There's no issue. The issue is, when you include the items, which for the record includes Sonic's Chaos Emeralds to transform into Super Sonic, among other things that Sonic has, obviously, you know, the rules and the effects, you know, they balance each other out. So that's why I'm really interested in seeing this complete reevaluation of the battle, because I want to see how they look at Sonic now and how they look at Sonic then. Like, great example is a more recent death battle. They put Metal Sonic versus Zero from Mega Man. And do you know who won that one, Tyler?
Yeah, Zero.
Okay.
Zero should win that.
There you go. Okay, but the thing is, they compared Metal Sonic's speed to Sonic's top speed as depicted in one of the video games, which stated that he was around, you know, 7,500 miles per hour at top speed. You know, not including orbs and emeralds and all the things that can make him go faster. Okay, this is base Sonic. So they're going to take that. They're going to take what happened in the Archie comics and hopefully and everything else. And they're going to see who wins. And maybe Sonic will win again. We don't know. Okay.
And then, no, but I don't even care. Even if Sonic wins, like, it's just, we need to move on past this silly. It's like Goku versus Superman. Like, okay, Superman would win. Guaranteed.
Yes, he would.
We know Superman would win. There's not
yes,
a chance
would.
That he would lose. And you can skew the rules a certain way so that, well, but Superman, the planet that they're on has kryptonite, and therefore Superman could lose. Okay, yeah, maybe then in that case, Superman could lose. But the whole format of Death Battle does frustrate me, although they're well animated and fun to watch. So
you're saying you love Sonic. Is that what you're saying, Tyler?
Well, one, I do love Sonic, and two, Sonic would let me ask you something. One more question before we move on. Has Mario ever activated the Chaos Control using an emerald with fake?
Not.
No, he never has. Okay, point proven. Next topic.
I say we just leave it there, Will. How about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, there's nothing else to say after that.
Oh, there is.
Oh, there is more.
I'm gonna be magnanimous as your host and
a fake emerald, fake chaos emerald, and he still activated the chaos control. How does he do that?
Has Sonic ever been knocked out of a castle by a dinosaur and launched into the air, reached terminal velocity, crashed into the ground, and didn't have a scratch on him?
Yes.
Well, Shadow did, and Sonic's tougher than he is. So,
and
yeah.
I acknowledge that. Might I also add, he survived a supernova explosion.
Yes,
of Super Mario Galaxy.
Mario Galaxy. Yeah, everyone actually, the people who I've been talking to on the ScrewAttack forums, they say that Mario Galaxy is the reason Mario's gonna win because of his feats in that game.
Yeah. I mean, Mario's feats in that game are pretty amazing.
Yeah, not unlike how Bowser survived not one but two black holes. Which
right,
is
but Mario also
impossible.
Dies when a Goomba walks into him. So, like, you gotta consider that.
This is true.
I don't get how you like
and,
the whole
and,
Death
and
Battle
Sonic
concept
dies when he touches
terrible.
Spikes. What are you gonna do? Spikes suck.
And
won't. Yeah, but okay, but how often do you see spikes just lying around? Like, if they're fighting in Green Hill Zone, okay, yeah, there are some spikes there. But, like, in the Mushroom Kingdom, where are they fighting? Like, these are all sorts of questions that
There is a lot of questions. So that's why I'm looking forward to Death Battle, to see how they all work it out. But we will move on. We will move on until the battle happens, and then we are going to talk about this again. All right, so for this wonderful 101, for this wonderful episode that we are doing that has happened to be 101, I wanted to have a really fun topic to do. And so we came up with one where we're going to be talking about mobile games, and specifically mobile games that we want to see made by Nintendo. And so it's time to be game makers.
Because Dragalia Lost just launched. That's the impetus for this conversation. I haven't played it. I did download it, but it came out on Thursday. So, but we're looking at other Nintendo potential mobile games.
Well, Tyler, since you were the one who thought of this topic, how about you start us off?
Okay. So my idea, it's a little radical because it's actually goes back to what I kind of hoped that they would do originally with their mobile initiative. I like Fire Emblem Heroes a lot, but I found some of their other mobile offerings to be lacking thus far. And I really expected Nintendo to use the mobile platform to kind of coincide with their Switch games. Mm. So my mobile game is actually a Super Smash Bros. Mobile game. But not in the traditional sense of Super Smash Bros. Like, you know, the controls would be way too complicated to do
obviously.
On a mobile device. But I think it would be really, really cool is if you had a Smash Brothers app that was kind of an all-encompassing app, an app that you could stream events from. If there's a, you know, a big tournament, say Evo's coming up and you want to watch, you know, there's some practice tournaments, you can go in and watch the pros play. I would love it if the app had like sponsors with professional players who could give you tips on how to improve your game or character breakdowns and all sorts of detailed analysis like that. It would almost be, you know, it's not a game per se, it's more of a companion app for the game. But I think that you could still have some gameplay mechanics involved with this. You could have a stage builder mode that you could transfer stages from your phone. Say you're bored, you're just sitting around. You know, stage builder has been in every Smash Bros. Game. You could bust out your phone and you could design some stages. And you could definitely, without worrying about the fancy, you know, the difficult controls, you could definitely drop a character into a stage on a mobile device and see how it works, see how it functions and move around in it. I think that would be a really interesting thing to do. It would be great too if almost like Splatoon 2, where this app could have replay of your previous matches. You can go back and watch some of your other Smash Bros. Games on your phone afterwards. I just think this would be a great thing to for people who really like the game to learn and improve from. And Nintendo giving you the tools to do that would really kind of take this game to the next level competitively. And I think it would open a lot of doors for more casual players to get into the game more competitively. I mean, it doesn't have to be strictly competition only, too. I mean, you know, these apps similar to this already exist right now. You could have, you know, just forums for casual players to come in and talk about, different items and different strategies involving items on or items high games, like however you want to do it. But I think having a companion app for a game like Smash Bros. That you can keep with you everywhere, so really you always have access to the game and you can always improve, would be really, really cool. And I think that would help. I mean, I honestly would prefer it if it was free and was something that, you know, maybe ties into your Nintendo Switch Online, which you would have to have. That would be fantastic. But yeah, that's my sales pitch here.
Oh.
That's interesting. It's not exactly a game.
No, it's not. But, I mean, you could definitely... I like the idea of being able to build stages. Heck, and what if you could even alter your skins on your character? You could paint Mario's hat a certain color and equip it like that through the mobile app. I think that would... There's a lot of different things that you could do that tie into the game itself that would affect your enjoyment of it.
Well, unlike Tyler, I actually did think of a game.
Hey, let's game talk about my maker here.
The Tyler's segment is game makers, not companion app makers.
Listen, I'm thinking outside the box here. This
the box
is my
is there for
idea.
A reason, man. The box
no,
is there for
I
a reason.
I have broken outside of the box. Would you use that app?
Honestly, probably not.
Oh, okay, well, I mean, that's one person who wouldn't use my amazing app.
I mean, if it was restricted, if you had like just a one-on-one mode, you know, I could probably get away with doing that. You know, kind of like how we'd had the demo in for the 3DS version. You played it just because you wanted to have Smash Brothers with you. But I mean, stage builder, yeah. The tips and videos, sure, but. I'm already the greatest Smash Brothers player
no,
ever.
No, you're not. First of all,
I won a tournament.
Given our experience in Smash 4, I feel like you could use this companion app.
I could probably use the app, but whether I would actually use it is another story. All right, but for my game, I'm going to do one that is so simplistic in its own right that Nintendo. Should do it like right now. I want a Paper Mario mobile game. Because like one of the problems with the mobile games is that you have to do a lot of, you know, more often than not, like 3D modeling and which can cause a lot of processing power. With Paper Mario, you don't have that difficulty as much because it's flat 2D graphics. Now, yes, I know like Color Splash had more 3D world. I'm talking pure Paper Mario and Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. Alright, I'm talking the games that we love from the Paper Mario franchise. I did like Super Paper Mario, that wasn't too bad, but I liked the original two more. So, the reason I want this is because of the simplicity of it. It would not be too hard to make because it's turn-based RPGs, which have been done in numerous times on mobile platforms. The graphics issue would not be there. And so all you have to worry about is just making sure the mechanics are tight, the story is fun, and give people a reason to want to believe in Paper Mario again, which is what we've wanted for years. Okay? We're tired of these bad Paper Mario games. I'm tired of Paper Jam. Color Splash, I heard, wasn't too bad, but it still wasn't pure Paper Mario because of the battle system, which was straight from Sticker Star. I want true turn-based simplistic Mario, Paper Mario battle systems, okay? Where I hit the touchscreen to jump, hit it again to get that extra bounce to do more damage, etc., etc. And if they do that, it would not only do well, it would be something that I think people would play over and over again within the course of a year. Now, granted, it wouldn't be like Animal Crossing, where you always want to play it every day because obviously the story will end eventually, or Heroes, which is always updating with new content and you can do stuff every day if you really wanted to. It would be one of the more one and done titles, but it would still, I think, would be a successful one and done titles because people love basic turn-based RPGs, and Paper Mario has charmed us for years. And so to take that, put it on a phone, have it, again, a very simplistic battle system, just like the original two Paper Mario games, it would be so easy. And then just wrap it up in a great Paper Mario-like story, and you got a hit. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
I just think, the thing with the Paper Mario game is it would be better on console.
Oh, I agree. Trust me, I would, if I had a choice between a Switch version and a mobile version, I would take the Switch version every single time.
Right.
But the problem is, I don't have faith in Nintendo to put a basic, pure Paper Mario game like the Thousand Year Door on the Switch. Because they didn't do it with the Wii U. They didn't do it with the Wii. Again, I like Super Paper Mario. That was fine. They didn't do it on the 3DS multiple times. So I'm giving them an out by saying, hey, let's just go super basic with the mobile version. And I think they would buy that. But if they do it on the Switch, someone, and it sadly might be Miyamoto, would want to change the game again instead of going back to what made it awesome on the GameCube and the N64. So I'm giving them an out.
Yeah, just like eliminating any chance that they could shoot themselves in the foot with it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they couldn't shoot themselves in the foot with the console games, and then with Pokemon console games, and then they made Pokemon Battle Revolution. Such a terrible game. All right, and so that's why I'm. But then they bounced back with the Switch title, not Let's Go, the pure core Switch title that's coming out in the year where everything is coming out. That one, you know. But I don't have that faith in them right now for Paper Mario, so I'm giving them an out for a mobile version. So that's why.
So yeah. if anything else, like, yeah, we really are in desperate need for a traditional Paper Mario game. Heck, I wouldn't mind if Nintendo collab with Square Enix to make something similar of that sort. Honestly, we're like Square Enix recent record of like Record Keeper and other like RPG titles they have on mobile. I would like to see that. I would like to see that.
And if it does get successful and brings in, it would be a obviously one time purchase game, like $5 for 10 to 15 hour story. I think that's, you know, somewhat fair. And if it's successful, they can add expansion stories. Boom.
Yeah, that's the good thing about it, I think, is that episodic release that would kind of keep, you know, give the game extra life.
And if they wanted to, they could do that. I would recommend that every quote unquote episode is like 3 to 4 hours long, you know, with the save spots, obviously. But, you know, they could do that if they wanted to extend it out. And then when the story's done, that people would have waited long enough that they could just play it all again in one go. So, if they wanted to, obviously. So, again, a lot of potential there, and I'm giving them an out. I'm giving them the out that they need, because they can't seem to realize it'll be 1,000 Year Door 2. Calming down. Calming down. All right, Will, how about you? What's your mobile game idea?
Well, it was a funny thing that Tom brought up his idea first, because mine's is kind of similar to what he said earlier.
Oh boy.
Because what game has been recently been doing well in the market for Nintendo, aside from Fire Emblem Heroes? I mean, not really much else, but what other game has, like, involved mobile phones in their current library?
Animal Crossing?
Sure, but I wouldn't say they actually had used cell phones in the game. Like, what other titles has used cell phones in the game?
Just tell us, Will.
It's Splatoon 2, boys. So,
oh, we don't speak of that app. That app is terrible.
No, not that app. Not that companion app. That's basically a companion app. I'm talking about a full-fledged game itself for Splatoon 2, like, to run alongside the companion app. So, this is just basically my early idea that popped in my head. But basically, like, because we... Splatoon 2 has been more or less been focused on regarding to the retro ideas. Yes, I'm going to talk a little bit of retro. But basically, like, you see, like, how there's always trying to go and stay in the 90s thing, especially with, like, the middle whole minigame ideas, like, when you play in the hub world of Splatoon 1 or in Splatoon 2. So, my first draft ideas is basically regarding to, like, how about we really delve into Splatoon 2's lore, but in mobile form. For example, like, they can keep on with the whole retro style of, like, heck, 16-bit or something of, like, really of classic games back in the day. And I was just basically thinking, like, how about, like, aside from, yeah, we can definitely explore lore of, like, Callie and Marie, but how about, like, explore even more further details? Like, for example, what's up with Spike and Urchin, or heck, even with the origin stories of Judd and Little Judd. How about that? Like, I'm not sure regarding to, like, what kind of, like, genre were per se. I was, like, thinking regarding to, I don't know, something of a storyteller, something of an RPG slash of a shooter, because, again, Splatoon 2 has always been majorly focused as a shooter. But I've been more or less thinking, like, something of regarding to, like, a puzzle or that. I'm still working out the details. But basically, I want something, like, the Splatoon 2 team, like, really focus on, like, other characters, because again, we focus on Off the Hook, we focus on Callie Mae and Squid Sisters, so why not anybody else? Like, heck, even more info regarding to agent with the other agents, perhaps. Like, I would love to see even more of those text message details between, like, other members, even have other Splatoon 2 characters. Like, we're getting so much lore regarding to, like, even, like, the musical bands that, like, each time they add music to the game, we always see, like, the new cover, art cover albums for these new musical groups. So something that, like, expands on the lore. In regards to, like, a gaming-wise, I don't know, something retro. That's what I'm thinking of right now. Like, I don't know. I'm still working out the details, but basically, like, something that really, like, really explores even more further into Splatoon 2's lore. That's what I'm thinking right now. As regards to a game, I have really no idea, honestly. I'm sorry. But again, that's what I'm just basically focusing on. A dedicated Splatoon 2 mobile game that's really focusing on. And heck, you can even connect it with your Splatoon 2 main account to actually help you gain more coins, more outfits, or heck, even exclusive outfits to go with your main game. I mean, that's just my basic first draft concept right now.
Yeah, that's a great idea, I think.
I think it's got potential.
I like the idea of the mobile version tying back into and rewarding you on your Switch version.
I think that, yeah, I like that too, and like the whole exclusive outfits that you can transfer via Nintendo Switch Online.
Ooh,
you know, there, I agree, there's a lot of potential there, so I think that could work.
I mean, you see this Inklings and Octlings always on their phone all the time, so why not really focus on that? So that's what I was thinking about, yeah.
I like it. I think that could definitely work. All right. Well, with that, we are going to end this episode of the Nintendo Podcast. Tyler.
Yes. So our last poll question asked, "What games do you prefer, retro or modern?" And not shockingly, just like the real Splatfest, the youth came out and said 85% prefer modern games. I challenge you all to go find a game that's more addicting than Ms. Pac-Man, but that's okay.
How much time you got? Because I can name a few.
Then so, you've never played Ms. Pac-Man.
I have actually. Thank you very
then
much.
Then you were bad at Ms. Pac-Man.
Possibly, but that's not the point. I just find other games more addicting than Ms. Pac-Man, like one called Smash Brothers.
Okay, well, that's one. But
there you go. See, I got him, Will. Totally got him. All right, so for this poll question, we're going to let you pick between our three mobile games. So what would you like to see Nintendo make for mobile game next? Would be a Smash Brothers Ultimate Companion app, B, a pure Paper Mario RPG, or a Splatoon 2 mobile shooter. And of course, if you have your own ideas for what you'd like to see Nintendo make for their mobile initiative, let us reply to the poll, and we'll happily talk about it if you get some good ideas on the next podcast. So, and of course, let us know about what you think about the Smash Brothers reveals. When do you think we're going to get the next character reveal? What do you think about the new Pokemon? Melton. Yeah. Do you have Nintendo Switch Online? Are you going to be getting The World Ends With You Final Remix in a few weeks? Are you getting Super Mario? Are you going to be getting Super Mario Party in the next few days? Do let us know.
And yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to give a quick heads up right now, because as we're heading to October, New York Comic Con is happening on the next week of October 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, this coming weekend. So most likely I'll be probably away or maybe just barely able to make it for the next podcast. So, but if you're in the New York area, New York Comic Con is happening right now. So heck, if I do see you, I hope to see you there.
There you go. And I'm sure Nintendo's going to have a presence there, so even if only a small one.
Maybe,
so.
Because I don't think Nintendo has been like truly present in these past New Comic-Cons, last I checked. I mean, don't call me out that, but maybe.
We'll find out. Anyway, so whether Will is here or not, we will see you next time. So, for Tellius Tyler and Warrior Will, I am Troy Forrest Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, but we are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag. Thank you.